The next category we have right here, directories. And the reason I put directories at number 14 is if I put it up at number 1, you would go to directories and I would never get you to number 2 or number 3. Directories is one of our better sources, or best sources, and the thing you have to realize is one thing as you think about directories. Directories are the things that you find at the library. You go to the reference section and you're going to find in your library you have hundreds, if not thousands, of these books. And you're going to find state organizations, local organizations, the Chamber of Commerce. Everyone has put out books on different types of industries. And they have books that list the names of the owners, the type of the business, how many employees they have. Some of them list what their sales are. Very few that I've seen ever list the profit, because it's a very difficult thing to dig out. But the thing is, it does give you a feel for how large the company is, how long it's been in business, what product line they're in. And what happens is it ends up helping you give you leads. Now, there's two ways to go when you're analyzing directories. Number one, you can go out and write letters. The only thing I want you to keep in mind, if the directory is broken down by category, by business, I want to warn you not to mail out the first time any more than 50 letters. Because once you mail out 50 letters, you may find that 10 or 15 of them are going to come back and want to sell you their company, or they're going to want you to list it. The thing you have to realize, if for those of you that are very ambitious and send out 500, you're going to end up with so many people coming back using this approach, you're going to find that you have a basic problem. Now, when you write this letter, the thing I want you to do is keep it very simple. Don't ask for a lot of information. Just ask them for all pertinent information on it. If you're too specific or make up a list of 50 different things, in most cases, you kill a deal. What you have to do is get a couple items from the other party, and then each time you talk to them, then you ask for more information. You don't want to kill it by going out and asking for 15 different things the first time. Take it slow. Take your time. The other thing is on the directories, you can also call. Because let's say we have written to 50 of them or written to 100 of them. The other thing you can do, although you have spent time in the office or in your home calling on the yellow pages, is the next thing is to approach the directories and pick areas of the directory and maybe spend an hour or two just calling the different people in there. Ask them if they'd be interested in selling. And although a lot of you think that this is not a good way to go and maybe you want to go the route of looking at newspapers, you're going to find this is more productive than looking at newspapers. In fact, you're going to find the newspaper route, which is the way that most of you go, is not the correct way. And again, there's nothing wrong with it, basically. It's just that it's not as productive in most areas as the other techniques we're talking about here. And it becomes very discouraging. Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet puts out a lot of very good information on businesses. And for those of you who want to spend a few extra dollars and maybe get additional information, which could be ratios, they'd also give you more as to what their ability is to pay, which is also going to give you a direction as to how much money they make every year. The D&B ratings are going to give you a lot more information you're going to get from the directories, and they are expensive compared to what we've been talking about here. But for those of you going out to buy very large companies, you're going to find the amount you're talking about here is insignificant. And if you want to save time or save money, what you might consider doing, you might find a banker or a CPA firm that happens to subscribe to the service that can get you the additional information you need, and then the amount becomes a token amount. It may be $50, $100, or something in that range. As we look at Section 16, the next area, and we start to talk about the Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to restate what we'd already talked about a number of times in the program, and that is when you get involved and you're going out to find a business, the key thing you have to keep in mind is one technique doesn't work. And again, it's not based on a book I've read or a number of books. This is based on our 30-some years' experience in business. It's based on our over 10 years' experience in teaching seminars, many years over 10 years, as a matter of fact. The thing you have to realize, we watch thousands of people every month that go out to find businesses. We then find out what works and what doesn't work. I can tell you flat out, for those of you that are going out and still thinking about using just one technique, you're going to find your chance of success is very small. You then have a tendency to want to blame the world, blame us for this thing not working. And the key thing is you're doing it wrong. What you have to do is follow the book. What you have to do is follow the method of doing it. If you want to be creative, as I keep telling you, do that later. One of the things that's happened in the last year or so, we've had a number of people that have even organized this area. And again, these are graduates of ours. We haven't done this. This was their idea. And the key thing is what they started to do is say, hey, let's make this simple. We're going to take these 20 basic techniques. And keeping in mind, we're talking about 20 out of 78. Okay, why don't we just give you all 78? Because you're going to find most of you don't even use all 20. You don't need that many. It's overkill. Even 20 is basically overkill. When you start to think about going out to find these businesses, what you have to do is keep in mind one thing. It does work. Yes, you will be able to find businesses as long as you don't get in a rut. Now, one of the easy ways is to leave a program, or after you get done studying this, is take the next day. Say it's a Monday. Number one, you do on Monday. Number two, on Tuesday. If you find that maybe one day isn't enough to get one thing going, maybe Monday and Tuesday you'll do number one and then number two. You go through all 20, and then by the time you're finished, you're going to find that you'll have all sorts of businesses falling out of the trees. What you do then is you can proceed on the ones that you already have, or you can keep going and go through the thing all the way through the second time. What we have found in the last couple of years is that if you go through it in that order and do all 20 and then go back again, most people don't even have to go back the second time. If you do have to go back the second time, what we normally find, we go to check to find out what you've done wrong, is you're not following what we're teaching. You've picked out one or two, and that's what you concentrate on. And even though some of them may seem easier, what you have to do is realize one thing. We don't want you going out and try to rely on luck. We don't want you going out and try to stand under a tree. What we want you to do is realize up in that tree there are a lot of businesses available. What you have to do is go out and shake the tree. You can't hope that you're going to luck out. Because if you're relying on luck, although some of you may make out in that area, what I want you to do is go out and spend some time. And if you spend the time, you're going to find you're going to be very successful. No magic, just it's going to work. Now, we start to talk about the Chamber of Commerce. The thing you have to realize is your local chamber provides essential information about the economic climate of the area. The chamber can give you specific facts and figures about business trends, opportunities. They can acquaint you with ownership movement in local industries and businesses. In order to get a realistic feel of the business community, the chamber is a must. It's also a great source of well-prepared material to include in your presentation to investors, or maybe your family and yourselves will be moving to another area. The information is required. They are very nice people to work with. You'll find they'll spend a lot of time with you, and they also have a lot of material prepared on the area you live in. Now, I also suggest if you're moving to another area or working with a client moving to another area, that you get the Chamber of Commerce package on the area that maybe you or your client are going to be moving to or you're going to be involved in, because it gives you a lot of background information as to what the community's like. It works very well. The next category, the Better Business Bureau, is ones that we've worked with a long time, and although we have them down in 17th position, it's one that could be a little higher. Because the Better Business Bureau is a watchdog of business activities, you can quickly determine how a particular business is being received by the buying public, whether any complaints have been registered, and how they've been resolved. You can also check on the general complaints that are being put forward against all businesses in that general category by talking to the people at the Better Business Bureau. The Better Business Bureau also is a great agency to connect yourself within your search for businesses to buy. Get acquainted with the staff, and they often informally share information about business in transition. Why are they willing to do this? Because this is part of their job. You're also going to find this is part of their job being nice to people in business. And again, I suggest that you set up each week a certain amount of time to talk to your Better Business Bureau. Not only while you're buying or starting a business, but also later when you're in business. They're great people to work with. The next category, number 18, as you probably already know, is a category we have the most trouble with. And again, I have the most trouble with as a person educating. I am a person that has trouble with business brokers, and I'm out trying to buy a business. And a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody ask me, what is the number one problem we have in educating people to succeed in business? And I always say it's business brokers. Why? Because business brokers drive us crazy. And as you're going to find out, they do it for a number of reasons. Some of the reasons are caused by the brokers themselves because of the way they act and react and the way they work. And the other area has to do with we don't understand what business brokers really do. So let's take the first part, even though it's sort of negative. But before I start, I'd like to have a disclaimer. Although you're going to get a feeling during this section that I think business brokers are probably the lowest thing on earth, you're going to find that the public perceives them in this manner. I really don't. What I am trying to tell you is I have a lot of trouble with business brokers. And the reason I have trouble with business brokers is the same reason you do. Number one, most of the business brokers, and I'm not talking about 50% of them, I'm talking about a large number, probably above 90%, are totally incompetent. The ones that I work with that are not totally incompetent usually are outright dishonest people. They are people that don't know anything about business. They don't care if you get ripped off or not, or their client even gets ripped off. And you're going to find also they are people that I consider the sleazes of all type areas of business. Now, I also want you to realize, taking it from the other side, and again, it sounds like I'm saying two different things, but I guess I am. I also can tell you city by city across the United States that we have some fantastic business brokers out there also. So what we have, again, like a lot of other areas, we have extremes. We have some cruds out there in the business brokerage area, and then we have some business brokers out there that are the most fantastic people in the world, well-educated, they can do a fantastic job. What you have to do is dig out the good ones. And again, I don't care if you're talking about attorneys, CPAs, or whatever. You're going to find some good and some bad. You know, we have a cross-section of people in all the basic areas. Now, as you think about business brokers, keep in mind one thing. Many of you try to go out and finance businesses 100% or close to 100%. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, because keep in mind we're doing one thing. If you're going out to finance a business 100%, what we've been educating you in or about is the fact that you can do this if the business does what? If the business is priced right and it has good financing. If after the financing you still have enough money left over to feed you and your family or your client's family, then also cover the different problems you're going to have in business. So you build in a safety factor. Now, when you're dealing with a business broker, you have to realize most business brokers do not represent you, the buyer, if you happen to be the buyer. If you happen to be the seller, a lot of times you're the one being represented. But the problem is, with the broker representing the seller and having a contract with the seller to protect that seller, a lot of people get irritated. Now, if the attorney and CPA representing the seller were to put you down as a buyer, you wouldn't think much of it because they are agents for the other side. But the thing that gets me, which is a double standard basically, why can't business brokers do the same thing? They have the same type agency type setup. They're being paid by the other party. And the other party has said to them, look, I try to sell a business myself, but the reason I'm hiring a business broker is I want the business broker to screen all the buyers coming in. I don't want 8,000 people coming in every hour. It drives me nuts. I want you to find out who can perform. Now, most business brokers today are trained to do one thing, if they're very good, and that is to screen people. Now, they don't base it on your desire or your ability to put the transaction together. They would like to see a financial statement or some sort of credentials that show them you have the down payment, that you have the working capital, and all the other requirements that you have to have to buy that certain business. If brokers don't do this, taking it from their side, the average business broker spends all their time driving everybody all over town showing them businesses, especially in those days when there's nothing on television. So the people want the brokers to drive them all over town looking at businesses. So what you have to realize is, number one, the broker is usually working on the other side, and the broker normally wants a financial statement. What is the key rule? Of the 20 number one, of the top 20 top ways of finding a business, if you want to finance 100%, 18 of them work. You're going to find then there's two categories that do not basically work all the time with 100% financing. And one is business brokers, and the other is the area of the merger and acquisition companies, which I'm about to go through in a couple of minutes. Now, let me tell you, the biggest problem you have when you go to a broker, a lot of you go to this broker and say, or the merger and acquisition person, and say, look, I'm tied into the Hamel program. I'd like to own a business. I have no assets, I have no cash, I have no experience, I don't want to do anything, I just want to take over for the South Seas and I want you to mail me the check. And the broker will then tell you, if I find something like that, I'll buy it myself. And what they also then call me back and cuss me out and say I'm teaching the wrong thing. What you're doing is doing the wrong thing. If you want to go to a business broker, go to the business broker for them to find you a business or help you put it together. Don't rely on them for financing. They don't even want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about our program. What they want to hear about is, what do you want to own? What do you have? If you then will keep it down to what you have and be cool, and then do the second thing, provide them with the proper backing. Now, later in this program, in one of the other areas, we talk about running a financial statement, a $1 million statement, having people put up real estate as guarantees. The one thing I want to state here, just like we state in the other chapters, you have to realize you can't put the cart before the horse. The problem you have when you go to a broker and you don't have the financial statement to qualify you to buy that business is the problem is you don't have enough of a financial statement. You don't have enough security behind you or cash. The problem is a lot of you come back to us or go to other organizations to try to get help in this area, and it doesn't work because people are not going to put up a financial statement, are not going to do anything until you have the business locked up. You have to have an offer made and accepted. So you'll say, well, how can we get it? They won't give us the numbers until we do the following. What you have to do then, if the broker's blocking you, is either avoid the brokers or sidestep, go down the street and find another type business, make an offer on it, have somebody come in with you, your family or somebody else, with a financial statement or a real estate guarantee, and buy the business you're looking at. Or if you then want to go back to the business that the broker or the merger acquisition person has, then go back. A lot of you think that certain programs that we put forth and teach you and educate you in are programs that don't work. And the problem is, you go out and try to use them, and it's not that they don't work, you do them in the wrong order. And I hate to say this, you have to do them by the book. You have to do them in order. And when you do them in order, they work. When you do them out of consequence, what you're doing is fighting the system. You have to quit fighting the system. Because then you fight the system, doesn't work, you come back and blame us. What you ought to do is blame yourself. You're doing it the wrong way. The next category, category 19, has to do with merger and acquisition companies. And again, merger and acquisition companies basically are companies that we find that sell businesses that net maybe over 50 or 100,000. There's some out there that work on businesses that net over 250,000. But again, we have business brokers that are working on small businesses maybe up to 100, 200,000. And those are total prices. And so they're both mostly in the mom-and-pop category. What we find with the merger and acquisition companies, they're working basically in the larger areas, $250,000 up to $5, $10 million net. And again, there's a third category we don't even talk about, which are basically investment bankers that do a lot of the merger and acquisition on companies that are up in the hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars. The reason I want to mention it here is not a main category for us because very few of you go after businesses that large. I don't want to say none of you do. That would not be true. But not many do, especially the first time out. Now, again, they're much like business brokers, only bigger. They deal in larger companies. They're highly professional. And we say they're a delight to work with. Again, I'm not going to say every one of them has been a delight to work with over the years, but on the average, they are very professional people. A lot of them are attorneys, CPAs, other type professionals, stockbrokers. And they work the larger businesses. They are not sales type people. And overall, generally speaking, they do a very professional job, and we enjoy working with most of them. The last category we're going to be talking about now is Section 20, our management consultants. And the great thing about this is in the management consulting business, you have to realize that a lot of the people that are business brokers or that are merger and acquisition or even bankers are basically also in the area of management consulting. So sometimes these areas tend to overlap. These individuals and firms basically are on the inside track of business. They also know what's going on before the news ever hits the street. They know about business that haven't been listed yet. Because let's face it, if you're starting to think about our program, the Hamel program, the thing you have to realize is the reason we, myself and you, are so successful is the fact that we end up most of the time buying business that haven't been shopped, that haven't been presented to brokers yet. Most owners don't even know they want to sell. Okay, they've thought about it, but they really have put it in the back of their mind. And what we're looking for is a person that hasn't been beaten to death, somebody that's been trying to sell the business, had 50 buyers there every day. We're trying to find somebody that's fresh. We're trying to find one that hasn't been shopped. They're easier to work on. Also, these consultants have priceless information about the current and potential worth of a business. They have a lot of backup information. And since they're professionals, you should assume that they deserve a fee for their effort on your behalf. And again, keep in mind one thing as you go through these different areas and you're working with the professionals, again, the attorneys, the CPAs, brokers, merger and acquisition companies, consultants. The one thing you have to keep reassuring them on is the fact that the fee can be paid and will be paid. If the seller isn't going to pay the fee, make sure that you reassure them. Sign a contract, you paying them the fee. And the key thing to keep in mind is in every person, in every transaction you work on, what you have to do is make sure everybody comes out of that transaction happy. Everybody becomes a winner, including the professionals supporting it. If you don't do that, you're not going to be able to put together a transaction. You're going to find people are not going to want to work with you. And although a lot of you get irritated about the fees that these people charge, the one thing I want you to keep in mind is the amount of money that they charge you is insignificant compared to what you end up with, dollar-wise, in the business you end up going into. So quit being chintzy. Get all these people working for you. And how do you do it? It's called sharing the wealth and letting them know it. And again, just don't do it verbally. If you're going to share wealth with them or pay them a certain fee for it, either as a finder's fee or a professional fee, put it in writing. And then when they do deliver and perform, pay it. Don't Mickey Mouse around. Take care of them. That way, when you go on to your other businesses, you've developed a good reputation for paying, a good reputation for being a professional and buying or running businesses. And then when you go out into the marketplace a second time, third time, you're going to find you have all these people to support you right from the start, and you don't have to start at ground level or ground zero. So don't be afraid to share the wealth.